Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris with the Real Life Mentoring Podcast. Normally, if you're a listener, you know that my wife, Christina, joins me on this, but she's unable to today. So today I have a guest. Nate is a friend that I met in Europe many years ago, Nate Brewer. And Nate's been on this Real Life Mentoring Podcast with us several times. So, Nate, what I want to do, just, you know yourself much better than I do. So just give us a little bit of introduction about yourself.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's good to be back. We've had a couple good podcasts together. So Nathan Brewer, been living in Vienna, Austria for 18 years, originally from the Midwest, Springfield, Illinois. And what originally brought me out here was soccer, playing Fußball, as they say over here, and using that as a platform to build relationships. So I've moved on from Fußball, consider myself somewhat of a spiritual entrepreneur. So I founded a nonprofit organization. I have founded a training organization called Fivefold Training. I'm certified in a marketplace tool called Six Types of Working Genius. And I'm the author of the book, The Pulse of Christ, a Fivefold Training Manual. So a variety of different activities over the years, but love people, love God, and love relationships. So it's a good place to be on the Real Life Mentoring Podcast.
And I want to brag on you a moment. You don't give your statistics about yourself to brag. You're a humble man, but it's things God's given you to be able to write and speak and connect with people. And so we share those. So as the listener, you go, you know, I probably want to connect with this guy, or maybe he could be a support for me, help me in this area for my team. And so I want to thank you again, Nate, for being on. As listeners, think about this. You may have friendships out there and you talk on a regular basis. You may be learning a lot of good things from your friends that maybe you take for granted. And I give you this example. So Nate, when you and I do a podcast episode together, I always learn something. And so you may be thinking you're just handing this to the audience. You're also handing it to me and my wife as well. So I'm greatly appreciative of that. Relationships. So Real Life Mentoring Podcast, we train people to be effective mentors, but that requires relationships. And I took some notes earlier that relationships offer us some of the most support, encouragement, enjoyment in life. What else do they offer us, or what do we deal with the relationships, Nate, would you say?
Yeah, it triggers thoughts for me of deep satisfaction and purpose in life. The people who are most happy and satisfied in life have the deepest, most meaningful relationships. So I think it's one of the most significant parts of life that we can have, whether they're personal, private relationships or workplace relationships. It really gives a deep meaning and purpose and richness to life.
And we're going to talk about teams today, right?
Yep.
We're talking about teams. So think about the amount of time you spend in the workplace or maybe in your church or some kind of organization you're part of, and you're part of a team. That's a lot of time we spend with people. And if there will be tension sometimes. That's just the way it is. I was so naive years ago, Nate. When I was much younger, in my 20s, I remember thinking, there was a guy, I think I irritated him. Like, I got on his nerves. And I remember thinking, what is it about me that would get on anybody's nerves? I'm a good guy. I was so naive. I was a good guy. But I have a personality style. I have a background. I have a perspective. I've had some own issues that would have tweaked my connection with him. And for whatever reason, it irritated him. And so there are tensions in relationships. And so we can deny those and push them aside, and that just makes it worse. Or we can step into it, even though it's uncomfortable initially. So talking about relationships, they're meant for to give us so many good things in life, but they also cause us stress sometimes, right? I put down here some of the most stress, some of the biggest frustration I've had, and some of the heaviest discouragement I've had have been in relationships.
Yep.
It's both.
Yeah. And on teams, I mean, most people work in a team in some way, shape or form, small team, large team, temporary team, long-term team. And imagine your team working smoothly together, full of joy, buzzing with energy, collaborating really well together. That's a beautiful thing. And when it makes a big impact and everyone is living out their full potential, it's a high impact team. That's a wonderful thing to be part of. And Fortunately, this is not usually the experience with teams. Often there's frustration with being part of a team or leading a team. Maybe you can relate to some of these, that you're not collaborating well as a team. Your meetings are draining and unproductive. Your workflow is too complicated. There's misunderstandings in the interpersonal relationships in the team, tension, lack of clarity. Team morale is down. People are not motivated. I mean, there's all sorts of issues with teams because we're dealing with people, and people are imperfect beings. And so teams can be a beautiful thing, but it can also be quite a frustrating thing to be part of a team.
So you wrote a book a number of years ago talking about the fivefold training. So let's get that started. So again, we're all working in some kind of team for the most part, in some capacity, aspect of our lives rather, and there will be tensions. So learning to understand one another better, our characteristics, our talents, our gifts. So Nate, take it away from there or with that.
Yeah, it's what we're going to talk a lot about today is tensions in teams. And fivefold gives us really a framework for healthy, strong teams. These are five archetypes or five personalities, if you will. These are gifts that different people embody, and everyone has one or even parts, elements of all of them. Just to give a quick overview of what those five are, and that will help us understand maybe the framework a bit, is the APEST is the acronym. So starting with the T, it stands for teachers. So these are people who are really gifted at explaining the word of God. And even if they're not a teacher in the church, people can have this gift. They're very good at explaining things. They give clear understanding and application and create great content for teams. So in the context of teams, they're standing for strong, continuous learning, continuous development, continuous growth in a team. So they produce healthy content for a team. If we talk about shepherds, and that's what the S stands for, they nourish teams with healthy relationships. So specifically talking about how this fivefold framework gives us a framework for healthy, strong teams. If you picture, just to maybe frame it with an analogy, if you picture different food groups for your body, we need to eat a balanced diet of different food groups in order to nourish our body with different nutrients. And that keeps the body healthy and strong. So teachers nourish the body with healthy content and with continuous right. learning and growth. Shepherds nourish the team and nourish with healthy relationships. They are very focused on creating healthy interpersonal relationships in a team and the unity, creating healthy community. Evangelists, it's a gift that really nourishes the team with a healthy outward focus, focusing on a strong message and motivation. They're very motivational people and can persuade individuals and teams to move forward very well. Prophets, which don't let that word trip you up. It's a word from the Bible, but prophetic gifts really nourishes the team with healthy values. So making sure the team stays in strong alignment with their values and operates with integrity. So the fifth personality or role in every healthy, strong team is apostolic. And they are people that have strong vision, strong mission, strong strategy, and they're going to nourish the team with healthy growth and forward movement. If things stagnate and stop growing, they die. And so apostolic individuals are the visionaries and are going to push the team forward to continue to grow. And in this way, you have five different roles on every healthy, strong team that are going to nourish the team with different aspects. And if it's healthy and nourished well, then it will also be strong and will grow.
Okay. For myself and the listeners, would you just simply give us that list again, those five?
Yeah. Apostolic are visionaries. Mm-hmm. Prophetic are standing for the values and the integrity. Evangelistic are strong motivators.
Okay.
Focus. Shepherds are caring and community, focusing on healthy relationships. and the teachers are focused on continuous learning and growth.
Okay. Which one relates to you the most? Which connects for you?
Yeah, when I look at those five, I would say two really resonate with me. One is the healthy relationships aspect, the shepherding aspect, but much more than that would be the apostolic, starting new things, vision, new ideas, and starting new things.
Okay. And you asked me, what about myself? I think I have the same, Nate. Apostolic, very much a visionary, and it has pros and cons, right? Each of these, you know, I lean into this, maybe a little too much sometimes. And then I'd say the shepherd aspect.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, it's something that we've connected on well over the years.
So let's talk about, you'd written a newsletter that you always do, and you had shared a story, an example.
Yeah.
Share that if you would. And that's what actually triggered this conversation.
That's right. We said, yeah, let's do a podcast around this. Yeah, recently I was texting on WhatsApp with a woman in our church here. I'm also in church leadership here in Vienna in a small local church. And she wrote about some frustration with another person. And she texted me, she said, yeah, this guy is always he's talking about the end times, and this depresses me. We'll give the people different names for the sake of privacy. So we'll call him Rob. Rob is so happy going to heaven for the world to end. And I think about everything we still need to accomplish and the people we need to bring with us.
Okay.
I replied back to her. I said, that's where it's clear to me that Rob is prophetic and you are evangelistic. Listen to her desire. I'll repeat it again. She said the people we need to bring with us. Okay. So she wants to share the gospel and bring people with us, so to speak, to heaven. So that's evangelistic. And his desire, what he voiced in the conversation, was to go to heaven. So to be with God in his presence, face to face, and that's prophetic. So do you feel the tension, different desires pulling in different directions? And who's right? Well, both.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those desires are good and healthy. And in general, tension is good. It's not bad. It's uncomfortable sometimes, but in fact, if our physical body didn't have tension, it would fall apart, right? We have muscles, tendons, ligaments, bones giving us tension in our body. So really the key takeaway is that tension is uncomfortable, but it often reveals giftings and different perspectives and makes the body stronger. And if we can understand where those tensions are coming from, it will help us a long way in relationships and in mentoring. So here's my advice. Next time you have a conversation in your team or anywhere that has tension, could be roommates, marriage, conversation with parents, listen in closely.
What did you say?
Listen in closely. Yeah.
I'm messing with you. Yeah, here we go.
And recognize the person's perspective and their gifting, where they're coming from, and give them grace. Ask Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in the situation. And that's, like I said, the connection to mentoring. If we can understand people's giftings, it helps us so much in understanding how they're wired and can mentor them more effectively.
Okay. We're both apostolic, which is visionary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you ever found yourself causing people stress in a team setting because as a visionary, you're running way ahead of the group?
Oh yeah. All the time.
And
that's a strength. Okay. It's also a weakness, right?
Right. Left to myself, I'm thinking, well, come on guys, let's do this. Let's go after it. And someone, I guess I would say the prophets who look at the values, right? Would they be the ones maybe to say, let's slow down a minute?
Yeah, they would be ones, as we have our foot on the gas pedal, they often have the ones on their foot on the brakes saying, let's slow down a little bit.
I'm a very practical guy. I went back to, they used to have something called driver's education in school. Mm-hmm. Did you have that when you were growing up?
Yeah.
Okay. Now they have driving schools per se, but we had driver's education in the school. And in the car, the driver's ed teacher, they had not a steering wheel, but they had a brake.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the teacher, driving instructor, hitting the brakes a few times with me.
Yeah.
Right? We were going around a reservoir, a body of water. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was going a little too fast, and maybe he thought I wasn't paying enough attention. I don't know. And I was shocked. All of a sudden, the car just came to a halt, and I thought, what's happened? And he said, Mr. Elledge, we need to stop right now and pay attention to what you're doing. We're by a body of water. And so I use it as an example. I do need someone in my life to help put on the brakes sometimes. Mm-hmm. However, Nate, tension happens because as a man, that will irritate me sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't want to be told to slow down.
No, and that'll frustrate me. And I'm thinking, if I'm not careful and I'm just focused on what I think and understand, I will think they're wrong automatically, right? And they go, no, they're not wrong. Because someone as a visionary like we are, someone will say, no, you're wrong in that. We just need to stay here. The status quo is not okay for us as visionaries.
Exactly. Yep.
And I can appreciate that, but I've caused team members, family members, even in my marriage, stress before, tension, because I'm running so far ahead and not taking time to really look at, okay, this is how they're wired, how they're gifted.
Yeah. And in fact, that's really a key partnership to recognize, it, whether it's in the church sphere or in the business teams, that apostolic and prophetic partnership is really a key partnership. So it's helpful to think about, okay, these people might irritate you, but in the end, mid long term, they're really going to prevent you from crashing the car into a wall, or in your case, driving it into the water.
I just want to make a statement that, guys, as listeners, it's really healthy to take an assessment like the fivefold assessment or another one and discover, have a better understanding of who you are, how you're wired. Mm-hmm. And then once you take that, you can look at these relationships you have in your family, but on your teams at work, and it'll help you understand why there's some tension there. Maybe where you're in the wrong, or maybe where you're short-sighted, or maybe where you're really gifted and you'll go, that's why I always do that in this setting. Yep. Because that's how I'm wired.
Yeah.
The better you understand yourself, the better we can understand other people as well.
Yeah.
We back up and go, okay, everyone has value, and I'm really maybe missing something wonderful with this person just because we think differently.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really helpful to have that level of self-awareness. That's where it starts. And then you're able to have awareness of those around you and who you need to complement your weaknesses. And that's the beauty of teamwork, healthy teamwork, where that comes in. Maybe in the sense of self-awareness, I can touch a little bit about the tensions in teams with the different desires and different directions. So
please,
even if you don't take an online assessment, you can just listen for a moment and think which one resonates with me. So I talked about the shepherd. So if you picture, just if you were to visually sketch out a circle that represents a church or a group of people or a team, in the very center would be the shepherd people. They're connecting, caring, creating community amongst the people there. So they're really standing for healthy community, and it's an inward direction. They're really concerned with the relationships internally in the team, in the church, right, in the people. So their direction, and this is what I'm getting at, is inwards. Their pull is going to be inwards.
Okay.
Now that's going to create a lot of tension for evangelists, because evangelists always want to go out and their direction is outwards. They're relating and reconciling people with people and constantly connecting with quote unquote outsiders. They're good networkers and building bridges. So their pull, their direction is going to be outwards. And that right there creates tension. You have some people who want to be more inward focused, and then some that are going to pull outwards. So if you put that, for example, on a proverbial drawing, if you put the E, if you sketch that out, that would be at like 9 o'clock on the left side of the circle. Now, if you put on the bottom of the circle, so 6 o'clock, a letter T, teachers, they're really focused on content, on learning. So if you picture someone looking down into a book, whether it's the Bible or whether it's another book, they're studying, they're learning, because they love knowledge and they love learning and they love to pass that on to the team. And their pull is going to be down. They're going to be downward, pulling the group in terms of depth of learning, depth of knowledge. And that's going to be in tension with the prophetic individuals in a team whose direction is upwards. They're, in a spiritual sense, they're really concerned with God's presence, with prayer and with perspective. Right. But even in a secular sense, their head is sometimes in the clouds because they're often thinking big picture values and integrity, and they have big questions that challenge the status quo. So they're often kind of wondering, and their pull is going to be upwards. So that's in tension with the downward pull of the teachers. And last but not least, the visionaries, founders, pioneers, innovators, the apostolic gifting, visionaries, founders, pioneers, innovators, they're pulling forward. Their mantra is let's go. And they have vision for something new. As you shared earlier, they're way ahead usually in their thinking and sometimes their doing. And they want to start something new in a new place, whether it's a startup, new business, or whether it's a new church or just a new idea. So you have this circle, people pulling in different directions, but in fact, that tension is what helps the team grow and what helps them be also healthy if they can handle the tension and the conflict in a good way. I was just 2 days ago with a team here in Vienna and just had them circle up. I think it was about 10 people, reach out their arms and grab a hand across from them. And so they're all tangled up, and I just had them lean back for a second. And I just said, feel, just take a moment to feel the tension in your arms and in your body. But they could all lean back really far because they were connected to each other and they had that tension. And their job was to kind of untangle themselves and get into a circle, which they did. But those tensions, once again, they are good. They're necessary for healthy, strong teams.
It's interesting. When I first looked at the title again of today, tension, can you feel it? How does it work on teams? When I saw the word tension, I thought negative at first. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me the opposite. Actually, tension can be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I believe that, but it's interesting. My brain went to the negative as soon as I saw that word. And I'm wondering how many people think that way to go, okay, you're going to have tension in this relationship today or this week or in this relationship or this team. And left to myself, I don't want to do that. As opposed to leaning into, no, the tension, if my motive is pure, is this fair to say? If my motive is pure and I respect other people, tension will be a good thing in that relationship.
Yeah, because we all want to grow. That's a desire almost everyone has. And tension leads to growth. Tension is often uncomfortable. It's similar to the idea of conflict. Conflict is also uncomfortable. And it's not a matter in a team of if you will experience conflict, it's when you will experience conflict, just like in any relationship or in marriage. Not if you experience conflict, but when you experience it, how do you deal with it? Okay. And that's going to be the primary driver for whether that's a positive or a negative association. So tension is uncomfortable, but it's good, and it's going to help us grow. Yeah, just interpersonally, but also for the bigger mission, the bigger vision of the team.
As I said at the beginning of this episode, I said, I expect to learn from you as you're talking about this. And I just realized, I don't think I've ever had a conversation. So I mentor guys on a regular basis, and I train people to be mentors. I don't think I've ever brought up the topic of tension with any guy I've mentored as a positive. Let's look at tension in any relationships you have and the purpose of that for you and for them. So that's something I need to add to that catalog of topics I'm going to talk about with guys who I mentor.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris, because the unaddressed tensions really drain our soul. If we're suppressing them or not addressing them, it can really be a drain on our energy and a drain on our soul, drain on our mind. And we all probably have. And then, you know, then you can get into different conflict types. And some people are kind of like rhinos that go head first into conflict. And some are more like badgers that dig down, or hedgehogs, sorry, that kind of dig down underground and hide from conflict, hide from tension.
Okay.
But once again, that's healthy to self-awareness. What's your default for dealing with tension and conflict? And also just raising awareness for where is their tension currently in your life? Where is their tension in the different relationships that you have?
Any topic that I would talk about on the podcast or in mentoring relationships, I want to try to give people tools if possible, maybe a perspective, a mindset. And so you mentioned, I think, a little bit earlier, But what would be, or what are some consequences if we choose not to step into tension, we just ignore it? What comes to mind?
Touched on them briefly just a moment ago. It drains your energy.
Yes.
It drains your brain drain. So brain drains your mind. Also drains your soul, which can also lead to physical manifestations. You can get sick also. If there's just so much burdening your mind, burdening your soul. It's also damaging to relationships in the end, right? It's not just internal, your own self, but if you don't deal with tension or don't deal with conflict, it's damaging to relationships, which as we began the podcast talked about, that's really one of the most fulfilling parts of life is healthy relationships. So if you have a lot of relationships that are under stress or under tension, a lot of conflict, midterm, long-term, that's going to damage the relationship.
I think about the idea of dread. When I haven't dealt with tension in a relationship on a team, and you just push it aside, or I push it aside, and we're having a team meeting coming up. Do I really look forward to that? Not so much. Yeah. As opposed to stepping into it. And yeah, when I have ignored it at times, it eats away. Yeah. And as you mentioned, it damages morale. You just feel it in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And as opposed to someone going, hey, guys, we've got some tension here in the team. Let me just help you understand. That's normal to have some tension. We're going to honor and respect one another. So we need to bring it up and talk about it. And we're going to work together. We have different perspectives, different backgrounds. So how can we walk through this together? Now, I would say that because, okay, just how I said that. Does that speak into one of those five areas you would say? Who would be the guy to say that?
You said a number of different things. So maybe repeat or summarize it in one core statement.
I'm the guy in the meeting who would say, guys, there's obviously some tension in our team. Let's, no stress. We want to respect and honor everyone, but we've got to talk about this so we can grow and move forward because it's impacting the atmosphere of our team.
Yeah, that would certainly be the shepherding, gifting, showing itself in you. So those individuals who really care for individuals, who are concerned about healthy interpersonal relationships, who are concerned about healthy community, healthy team, that would be a shepherd that would be flagging it usually.
Okay. All right. And but to being human, I will say it would irritate me as well. That we're okay just being okay with the tension and not addressing it.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah.
Which one do you think that would be?
Yeah, prophetic and apostolic people are usually unsatisfied with the status quo. And so they're raising a flag for that.
Okay.
But as you said, it's also partly human. You know, people on all levels, regardless of their gifting or how they're wired, they want it to be... they want the tension to go away. They want there to be a healthy team dynamic or a healthy interpersonal relationships, but they'll deal with it in different ways.
Okay. Any other thoughts you have on this topic? There's so much more we could talk about, of course, but I don't want to miss something that's important.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good kickoff, a good part one. If we do a part two, we'll talk even more specifics like decision-making as a team, problem solving as a team, workflow as a team. In the framework of healthy relationships and healthy mentoring. So I look forward to getting into that.
Is it fair to say, and you know, tell me if not, when tension is not addressed, it's allowed just to kind of, you know, hover. Sure, it'll short circuit a team?
For sure. That's one of the big red flags for a toxic culture in a team or in a company is that conflict and tension is left unaddressed.
Okay. I worked for an organization years ago, and I brought some tension, some problems to the front. And I was told, I was given two options. Choose to fly under the radar. So basically ignore what's going on, go with the flow, or find a different job.
Wow.
So with that said, you know what that does for morale on a team?
Yeah.
It kills it for me. It's like, wow, I have two choices. Instead of us addressing these problems, these challenges, and honoring one another and growing together, I have to fly out under the radar to keep my job and my position. And that kills creativity for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped sharing ideas and my visionary piece, go back to apostolic.
Yeah.
I quit stepping into that because it's not received.
Yeah. So it feels morale. Yeah.
Yeah. For someone to tell me fly under the radar or find a different position or different job because we're not going to address these tensions, man, that's a killer. In the reality, Nate, I think a lot of people deal with this in the workplace every day.
Yeah. Indeed. That's my heart behind writing content. We said at the beginning, what originally triggered this podcast episode was a newsletter I sent out. So if you want to include the link in the footer, you can. Fivefold training newsletter, send out about discovering gifts and working together healthily as a team. And also a second one called Working Genius, which is more of a marketplace focus. So if you're not a Christian or just working in a more marketplace setting, the Working Genius newsletter might be more relevant for you. Content about discovering your gifts and working together in a healthy, strong way as a team.
And the Working Genius, which you're a trained coach in that, that's connected with Patrick Lencioni, correct?
Hey, yep.
So those of you who know his work, it's that's just a good point of reference for you.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Oh, with the work that we do with mentoring, we're always taking the holistic approach. So we are spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, and professional and or educational. And so you might ask, why would a Real Life Mentoring podcast talk about tension on a team or in a team? It's because all those pieces in our lives matter and they impact one another. Mm. So we want to address there's a problem, there's a stress, there's an area of growth. We want to address those things because they impact one another. And we care about relationships in life. We really do, because that's the foundation of who we are as people. So I want to thank you for listening to the Real Life Mentoring Podcast today. If you would like and subscribe, we'd appreciate that. If you'd like to donate to the production of this podcast, you can go to the FahrenheitMentoring.org website and click on the tab for podcast and go from there. I do want to share that today's episode is brought to you by our corporate sponsor, Shelter Insurance, the Aaron Reese Agency. His agency offers auto, home, life, and business insurance, and they strive to build real relationships with all of their customers. And guys, I'm telling you, that's just not a statement. This man's a friend of mine. The Aaron Reese Agency is actually my personal insurance company, and they really take care of their people. So we're happy to have them as a corporate sponsor. So once again, thank you for the time today. Nate, thank you for your time. And
yeah,
we will
pleasure.
Put in the material that you can read later, links to get in touch with Nate. So once again, thank you so much, guys.